to see something which I find quite interesting, which is competing service providers in Europe for networking. Is that going to continue, or do you think we're going to end up with a single PTT-like internet provider for each country?
Again, it will, for many, many years to come, it will be different in the various countries, but the general direction will be the same. It will be towards deregulation, and that means that as soon as there is a business case, competing network service providers will establish themselves, either on a national scale or on a European scale or on a regional scale.
To change the subject just a little bit, one thing I've always found very interesting, if you look at networking in Europe, it's like all roads lead to Amsterdam. In fact, all roads lead to this building we're in, which is houses NICEF. It houses CWI, which is the Dutch Institute of Higher Mathematics. Why is this small complex of buildings so responsible for reaching out, so willing and aggressive to bring in networks from other countries? Is this part of the NICEF mission?
No, absolutely not. Our mission is to do particle physics.
Mm-hmm.
And particle physics is an expensive profession or hobby. So in Europe there are only two facilities where our physicists can do their experiments, and one happens to be in Geneva in Switzerland and the other in Hamburg in Daisy. So our physicists need the best networking our money can buy. And that's why we have been one of the forerunners of international networking in the Netherlands. It so happened that when computer networks started in Europe, one of the real initiators was the world of computer scientists. And that's how the European Unix network, which today is a funny name, came about. And it so happened that their network is a star, and the star is located in Amsterdam. So that's now two networks on that's one right. site. The combined computing centers of the two Amsterdam universities, the combined computing center, is also on this same campus, and it houses some national computing facilities like supercomputers. And that's why the Dutch academic network has evolved more or less into a star centered around, again, the same campus. Traditionally, the Netherlands have always been an open country, in the sense that we are so small and there is such a large world out there. Our economy is based on international trade, international services. So our academic world, the universities and the high schools, have always been quite open to the world. And if you look at today's network traffic on an international scale in Europe, you will find that one of the smallest countries, the Netherlands, is somewhere on top of the list of volume exchange of traffic with the NSF net. And so I think the real answer is we have always been travelers and traders, and we do the same over the networks.
It's just a different kind of traveling. Looking down the road a bit, I'm curious what your thoughts are on Europe's backbone, as to whether Europe is going to develop a high-speed backbone, as to whether it's even realistic to ask a question like that. What are some of your ideas over the next couple of years as to what's going to happen here in Europe?
I think in the next couple of years we will see the emergence of backbones. The plural. I don't believe in this one single European backbone that will solve all our problems. I think it's wrong for two basic reasons. The first one is from a technological point of view. If you have only one well-established backbone, it tends to be a very conservative one. It's running, so don't change it. And secondly, it's a commercial point of view. I don't believe in single providers of services. They tend to be a little bit more expensive than that could be.
So you see several service providers out there, each providing a backbone-like service. Companies like Sprint or Infonet or EUNet or
whoever. They will come, they will flourish, they will go, and new ones will pop up. I think there won't be that many. It's I think very interesting the coming few years to observe how many of the traditional European national PTTs will survive in this open market in Europe. You see practically all the European PTTs are positioning themselves now as international carriers. I don't think there is room for 25 such type of carriers in Europe.
There's been quite a few people. Jeff Houston from Australia comes to mind, Peter Lothberg, who have been talking about a concept of a global internet exchange, a GIX. Such a GIX is a place where anybody can plug in and join the network. Do you see that as a necessary part of the architecture in Europe?
Yes, absolutely. If we agree that networking in Europe is not being surfaced by this one single monolithic backbone, then we must ensure that if there are 3, 5, 10, 12, 20 service providers, that there is full interconnectivity between them. It's like the telephone system. You have a plug on the wall, and you are connected to the whole world, and you don't want to be dependent upon four providers, depending whether you want to phone your uncle in Australia or your niece in Canada. You have one telephone at home.
The same with the
so I think for the user community that it would be extremely beneficial if they define a couple of connectivity points and leave it to the market to interconnect them, and that can mean that you have several ways of connecting between or to these connectivity points. But the idea of having a few well-defined connectivity points, the jargon today is GICs, scattered around the world, interconnected among themselves, and from the connectivity points, the local regional networks connect themselves. I think that's an extremely efficient and cost-effective way of doing global networking.
So is a connectivity point a building, or is it a city, or what is a connectivity point?
I think it's one square meter of floor space with a rack and with a lot of colored boxes. Every manufacturer or service provider will have his box there, and it's connected.
And you just look for some institute like a NICHEF that's willing to house that connectivity point?
I think the more logical places would be on carrier's premises, because from a technical point of view, that's the logical choice.
It sure makes the lease lines to the carrier premises cheaper if you're already there, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Do you see any moves by the carriers to provide this kind of a service?
Well, some do, some don't. There are some U.S. carriers who have understood this and are playing with the first instance of a GICS, and European carriers, some
That's
of them...
The Washington Proto GICS
yes,
is what you're
yes,
talking about?
Yes. And some European carriers have still to read their first book on the how and why of TCP/IP, so there is a wide gap in understanding this kind of networking and the level of knowledge between the carriers in the world.
Well, having them read books, of course, is a move that I fully support. actually, I support having them buy the books. Whether they read them is irrelevant. Okay, well, thanks for appearing on Geek of the Week. We've been talking to Rob Blackgeel here at NICHEF. He's the chairman of RIPE. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
This has been Geek of the Week, brought to you by Sun Microsystems and by O'Reilly and Associates. To purchase an audio cassette or audio CD of this program, send electronic mail to radio@ora.com. Internet Talk Radio. The medium is the message.